bless you. Thank you for joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for bringing us together once again. We pray, Lord God, that as we approach the Word of God, that you will help us, Lord. You will help us with an unction from the Holy One, and you will help us with an utterance that only you could give. Lord, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that shall prevail. Your purpose shall prevail tonight. Your word shall go forth. You sent your word and healed them. You will send your word tonight to affect us deeply. Thank you, precious Lord. We bless you and we thank you for hearing us, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God for all of you that are joining us. Would you open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 3? I'd like to share this episode and focus on this third chapter of the book of Acts and the miracle that took place with the man at the gate beautiful. Acts chapter 3, and we'll start reading at verse 1. I have the King James Version, and then we'll also look at some other versions to highlight what the Lord is saying. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Notice what he's being laid there daily for, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Notice, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered. Walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Now, let me just stop here. It's a wonderful story and a wonderful account of the miracle working power of God that has manifested after Jesus has been raised from the dead. The 3,000 in the multitude that the Holy Spirit had fell on, these have repented. The 3,000 souls have come to the Lord in the second chapter. They received the word with gladness. They all believed together. They continued steadfastly, daily, one accord, breaking bread from house to house. All these things was happening. On their way to the temple, the time of prayer, they run into this man who's begging for alms at the beautiful gate. it's interesting that he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple before Peter fastened his eyes on him and said, look on us. He was looking for something. He was asking for something. He didn't know what he was going to get, and he didn't really know who he was asking. But what's obvious is that this lame man had been laid here even during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I'm sure Jesus was teaching in the temple. He was there, one of many that maybe never got healed under the ministry of Jesus, with thousands testifying as to how many miracles were done. John said at the end of his gospel that had they counted all the number of miracles, there wouldn't be enough books to write of the miraculous things that Jesus did while he was here on the earth. But this man had kind of slipped through. Again, he asked an alms, fastening his eyes on them, John, they said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, notice verse 5, expecting to receive something. I want to just stop here long enough to say, brothers and sisters, that the miracle working power of God does still work today. But the reason why we don't see a manifestation of it is because there isn't an expectation to receive something. Many now come to church without that expectation. Oh, they come because they know they're going to hear the word. Some who are growing in their faith know how important the word of God is, and that a proper diet of the scripture is the only way that you can truly grow spiritually. But for whatever the reason, brothers and sisters, we've lost the expectation that this man needed in order for this miracle to manifest in his life. I wonder if you have that expectation today. I wonder if your expectation has run out. I wonder what our expectation of God is like. Why do we go to church? Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we involve ourselves in religious activities and for a number of years, months, maybe even weeks, nothing has happened? Could it be because we lack the expectation? I want to read in verse 5. He says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. What's obvious is that there was definitely eye contact between Peter and John and this lame man. But they said, look on us. Look on us is what prompted the lame man to give heed, and it set the expectation. What has the Lord said to us that would cause us to set the proper expectation and knowing in our hearts that he's going to do what he promised, that he's going to fulfill his purpose, that he's going to accomplish his will in the earth? I know what it looks like now. It looks really, really bad. What we see manifesting is the great apostasy, the great falling away just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He even mentioned that there would be a great falling away first. That's what we're experiencing right now. Many are disheartened, discouraged, even depressed. And they say they're serving God and they're Christian. So my brother, my sister, I believe this is an issue that this man was able to receive from these apostles, and a manifestation of God's power instantly manifested because he had an expectation to receive. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You see, there's a proper sequence if you look as it relates to this manifestation of God's power. Number one, the apostles are telling the man who the source is. He's within them. Look on us. Why? Why look on you, Peter? Because of who we carry. It's nothing of ourselves. We're fishermen that have been converted and have spent the last 3.5 years with the master himself. Hallelujah. And now they're carrying a substance that they know works. Look on us. Look on us. You don't have to come to our church. You don't necessarily have to believe what we believe, but look on us. Who we carry is who you need. It set his expectation. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. The request for alms is countered with the name of Jesus. Notice, the lame man says, he said, he didn't say anything. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. So we don't see the lame man even having words or even a conversation. He asks for an alms and received a miracle. His expectation set the tone for what the Lord was doing then. The Spirit of God had just fell on 3,000 souls that had given their lives to Christ. They were on their way to the place of prayer. It was just time for this man to be healed. It was time for a manifestation of the Spirit. It was time for healing to begin to break forth so that the people in the surrounding towns would know that the times of refreshing of the Lord have returned. That there is something unique about what's happening right now. Maybe not in your local church, but definitely and distinctly in the lives of those who say they're disciples. Now, through spiritual growth and 3.5 years with the Master, they're released as apostles and commanded to go in all the world and make disciples of all nations. Immersing them in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. Is that not a manifestation of what happened in here in chapter 3, brothers and sisters? This man who was lame was immersed in the name of Jesus. Isn't that what he told them to do in Matthew 28? Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. How do we do that? Immersing them in the name. The name, the character of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the reputation of God as Father, as the Son, as God the Spirit. Immersing them in the name. This is what happened with this man. Silver and gold we don't have. What you're asking for, we got a counter with a name. I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give to you. What is that, Peter? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Notice, brothers and sisters, that the power to manifest the miracle was in the name of Jesus that was given to him. I don't have money, but I have a name that can release the power. And brothers and sisters, the Bible says, and he took him by the right hand right after that. So he said that and took him by the right hand. And the man leaped up. It was a miracle. It was an authentic, genuine. I know we don't see that today, brothers and sisters. I know too many people think that you got to go to specific places to see healing manifest because of how maybe it's manifested in the past. But healing is not tied to a place. It's tied to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have silver and I don't have gold. Well, I mean, I have it, but not for you. Here's what I have for you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's what I have for you. That your lameness is over. Rise up and walk. That's what I have for you. And do it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But do it. And he grabbed him by the right hand, took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, notice, stood, walked, entered, walking, leaping, praising God. Here's a man who's impotent. Here's a man who is lame from his mother's womb. It's very, very important that you see in verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. They carried him where he needed to go. And today, the day that he saw these two men that are full of God, his day of being carried was over because of a name, because of a name that was used, because of power that was manifested through the lives of fishermen who have been with Jesus. They have been with Jesus and they looked upon him, having seen that he had an expectation. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What do you have, Peter? I have a name. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And that's what happened, brothers and sisters. That's what happened. That's what happened. They're on their way to prayer and they encounter this man. And like that, he's leaping up, coming with them to the temple to pray. Just like that. Just like that. No class. No seminar, no, you know, how to receive miracles, and, you know, no trip to Reading. Just the power of God manifested instantly because of what these who were carrying the inward Christ knew that they can impart to this man. I can't impart silver, I can't impart gold, but I can impart a name that is above every name, and took him. And Lee, I want you to see, brothers and sisters, the power in the name. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him. Took him by the right hand. And notice, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Like, he didn't have time to consider what he needed to do. Like that, they had lifted him up and he had received strength and he's walking. He can't believe it, but it has happened nonetheless. Brothers and sisters, I want you to notice something very, very interesting as Peter is giving an explanation. As you come down to verse 16, he says something. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Notice it had nothing to do with them going to the temple, being in the temple, or being outside the temple. It had nothing to do with church. Notice what he says. And his name, through faith in his name, the name Jesus itself, has miraculous power if it's properly exercised and received. But here in Acts 3, it was perfectly exercised and it was received by the man. It equaled a miracle. That's all it takes, brothers and sisters. Those who carry Christ with the name of Jesus in their mouth and his nature in their heart, using that name, and the recipients listening say, yes, I believe. You have a miracle. You have a miracle. That's what happened. There's no extra faith. There's no extra anything. There wasn't the power of agreement. There was not. He just received and got healed and started walking because of a name. Today, people don't believe in Jesus no more. Got to be Allah, Confucius, Sun Young Moon, because we were deceived and we were robbed of who our identity was as a people and all this foolishness. It's Christ and him crucified. That's what it's about. It has nothing to do with your race, where you came from. You can go back there and still not make it. It's about this Christ that Peter and John said, this is what we have. And the lame man received the name and got instantly healed. Just like that. Just like that. Not a discussion. Just like that. Such as I have given unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and pull him up. And immediately, strength. Then the people want to know what happened. He answered, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power of holiness we had made this man to walk? Our own power, our own holiness can't bring forth the miracle working power of God. That's what he's saying here. We had nothing to do with this. It was in God's sight to heal this man, but what the components needed for that to manifest was properly using the name and receiving what's on the other side of it, which happened to be healing instantly from the apostles that are using this name. Notice, in closing, I want you to see, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man whole. Not the laying on of hands or the transition of, you know, contact and transmission, power, all that. It doesn't say they laid hands on him. It just says they grabbed him and he leaped up. There wasn't a whole lot of shaking of his head and laying hands. They didn't have time to go get oil. They just said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And like that, they grabbed him and he leaped up. And like, wow, it happened. I'm sure Peter and John weren't as calm, cool, and collected as you may have think. But they understood that what God was doing, God was the one doing it. Brothers and sisters, how do we receive the miraculous? Do we use that to authenticate who we are as men of God and women of God? I have miracles under my ministry, bless God. I have raised from the dead under my ministry. Is that what authenticates you? What about his name? What about just properly using the name of Jesus and seeing lives healed, seeing people delivered? That you could properly use his name and clear out a cancer ward. By using the name of Jesus, going to the hospitals, going to the elderly, and just ministering and using the name of Jesus to see lives healed and turned around for the glory of God. What about that? Why does somebody have to take credit for what God just desires to do by using his name? Now, in closing, brothers and sisters, the reason why we don't see a manifestation of this is because I learned this principle years ago that the name of Jesus properly used on our lips has to be connected to the nature of Jesus that's properly tied to our hearts. That without his nature, there's no power in his name. That Christ in you is the hope of glory. That he, the greater one, he's living inside of you. But do you properly know how to appropriate the means of what he did on the cross? Can we communicate that to a dying world, to a people that don't know him? This man had been crippled from his birth. And it was time for him to be healed because Peter and John, on their way to have prayer, stopped and raised this man up, and he came into the temple with them. And when they were questioned, this is what it says in the Amplified, and his name, through and by faith in his name. Notice the vehicle that carried the miraculous power, the name, and faith in his name has made this man whom you see and recognize well and strong. Yes, the faith which is through and by him, Jesus, has given the man this perfect soundness of body before you all. Brothers and sisters, in closing, that's what the name of Jesus will bring. Perfect soundness even in your body. Would you like to pray today using the name properly, knowing that the nature of Jesus is in his word. The nature of God is based on his word, what he speaks and what is spoken already. Would you like to come to God and say, Lord, I want to receive the miracle working power of God that can be released through the name of Jesus. Touch my body in Jesus' name. Do what's needed in the name of Jesus that has the power in it. Lord, I pray and agree with those that are on the program, the episode, Lord, that they're viewing today. I pray in Jesus' name that you would cause your power to manifest, coupled with faith in your name, coupled with the nature of Jesus in our hearts. Lord, let there come a manifestation of your power on the lives of those that are viewing, on some life that's about ready to give up, on some husband that's ready to divorce his wife, on some wife that's ready to give up on her son or daughter. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they would rise up and walk out of that situation and receive what you have ordained for them. I take authority over the enemy and what the powers of darkness are trying to do, and I command them to release their hold on them. And I declare, Lord, that by the power of your name, you will help them move forward into that which you have arranged and ordained for them. Lord, manifest your glory. Take credit for all that's done, Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you and we give you praise today, Lord. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. We thank God for all of you that are joining us on this episode. We give God praise. We'll be back next week by God's grace. Until then, may God's riches be yours. We'll see you next time. God bless.